reading to you from the 4th chapter of the book of Ephesians, and with the 31st verse. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven us. Good evening, my dear slick friends. This is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Well, I'm telling you, my friends, we have experienced 39 days of nothing but snow. We got 3 or 4 foot of snow out here. We were snowed in for 5 or 6 days. I did get cabin fever, I want you to know. I got a little wild there for a while, but now that we're out and we'll be in the prison this coming, we'll have 3 services in the prison this Sunday, I'll probably feel a lot better. Well, you know, and we got 2 more storms coming in again. Well, God makes the weather. Now, we may not particularly like it, but He makes it. And He knows how much moisture we need and all that. Well, listen, I'll be with you for about a half an hour tonight. Won't you just kick off your slippers? Pour you a hot cup of chocolate. That sounds good. Or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to the book of John and the 37th verse, 6th chapter. All the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. Now I've labeled this message tonight, Come and Be Safe. Well, let me tell you, Now, you older Christians will remember this name, but I'm sure young ones won't. D.L. Moody. He was a shoeboy. He worked in a shoe store in Chicago. And the man that run the store one day told D.L. Moody about Jesus. And that young shoeboy gave his heart to Christ. And boy, D.L. Moody hit the road a-running. And until he died, he traveled all over the world preaching the gospel, telling men and women about Jesus Christ. And then a 17-year or 18-year-old boy changed D.L. Moody's life in preaching. What happened, he was over preaching in England, and this young boy, English preacher, come over here, and he was preaching. And when D.L. Moody got back, he said to his wife, How's the revival going? Oh, she said, absolutely wonderful. I said, well, what's he preaching on? Well, the only text he's used is John 3:16. He said, you can't preach a revival on John 3:16. And that night he went and heard this young English preacher preaching, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have eternal life. And I don't know how many people come to Christ that night, and it changed D.L. Moody's preaching. D.L. Moody preached the wrath of God. Very little did he ever preach about the love of God. Do you know, friends, it wasn't the wrath of God that brought me to Christ. It was the love of God. When Brother Tom told me about Nicodemus, and then he shifted on up to John 3:16, and the minute he read that to me, I was reminded that my mother used to sit there on the Davenport with a big old family Bible and read that to me and my sister. And I said, my mom used to read that to me. He said, well, Cecil, that's what's happening. For God so loved Cecil Moe that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's Holy Spirit used that to bring me to my knees, and I fell upon my knees, and I cried out, God, be merciful to me, Cecil Moe, a sinner. Well, you know the rest of the story. That's been 51 years ago. And immediately, not weeks later, not months later, but that night, he delivered me from alcohol. Now, if you have an alcoholic loved one or friend, tell him my story. Get my movie. Give it to him. Tell him how that God can change anybody's life. And, of course, you know, what was confusing to me, I did not believe that God could love an alcoholic. That was my problem, because I knew that the Bible said a drunkard will not inherit the kingdom of heaven unless he'd been converted. Well, I've labeled this, Come and Be Safe. This is a text in which we can find assurance, a text that makes him and you feel good. It's a tender invitation. Just come to Jesus. That's it. He says it's too simple. No, it isn't. He said, if you come to him, telling him you're sorry, confessing that you are a sinner, he will not cast you out. Why believing this text brings a sense of safety? To come to Jesus is to receive him. Him that cometh to me. There's nothing complicated about this invitation. I can't see anything about it. Nothing about religious ceremonies. Nothing about good works. Nothing about giving money. Receiving Christ is placing our faith in him. Oh, friends, listen. There's nothing more rewarding to sit down in the morning or get up in the morning and bow your head before God and say, Oh, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for the good night's rest. Lord, lead me today. Lead me to some soul or help me to be a witness. Bless my life and my ministry. He likes that. And don't forget to tell him that you love him. Oh, he loves to hear that from his children. God, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Boy, there's nothing like it, I'm telling you. Well, we become aware of our sinful conditions if we read in the third chapter of Romans where it says, All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've told you many times. That was my wife's problem. She used to go to Sunday school and church before she met me. And so she was convinced that she was sprinkled in the head. And she was convinced that she didn't cuss or smoke or drink. So that kind of gave her the idea that she was good enough to be a Christian. Well, listen, we have all sinned. Remember that. We're not picking on you. You have sinned. I have sinned. Everyone has sinned but Jesus. Now, he did not sin, even though he was tempted just like you and I, but he did not sin. We understand we cannot save ourselves, and rereading Titus 5, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Right now, friends, if you're not a Christian, you're not born again, you've not accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit of God right now is tugging at your heart. Now here, let's go over that again. He saved us not on the basis of deeds, so I don't care how good you were, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So he right now is tugging at your heart and he's saying, son, daughter, listen, I know you've made mistakes. I know that you've done terrible things. But that's what I sent my son to the cross for, to pay for your sins. Because our great-great-grandfather fell in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, and they were cast forth out of the garden. The only way that you can get ripe in the fellowship with God is through Christ Jesus our Lord. And it tells us in Ephesians 2:8-9, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast. See, if you could go up to heaven, stand before the white throne in heaven, stand before Jesus, and say, Now, Lord, I'm coming in. He said, Wait a minute. Wait a minute. How do you know you're coming in? Well, because I used to go to church. You know, I can quote some things in the Bible, and there's been times that I've prayed. And in fact, the matter is, I used to ask a blessing at the table. And he'll say, but you didn't accept my son. At the minute you accept my son, your name would have been written in the Lamb Book of Life, and it does not appear here. I'm sorry, but you'll have to go into outer darkness where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friends, that's a reality. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to, from the best I can from my heart, to let you know that tonight, if you're listening to the broadcast and you're unsaved, you can settle this once and for all tonight. We understand we can't save ourselves, and we stop trying to earn favor with God because he said it is a gift. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave the rights to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Oh, my stars in the morning. We have now come to Jesus. To come to Jesus is to be received by him. I will in no wise cast you out. Can you believe that? Listen, he's looking at your sins, but he's looking to Jesus, who you're calling upon tonight, to wash away your sins in his precious blood. What will wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And you know what? They've taken those songbooks out of our churches now. Oh, what a pity. No, things have changed so much in the 51 years since I gave my heart to Jesus. Oh, I used to love to go to church. Oh, I love to go to training union and Sunday school and see people saved and see people revived. Oh, I love that. Now you go to a church, beloved, and they don't even give an invitation. Now, that's not all churches, please. Don't say I said to all churches, because a lot of churches do give an invitation. But there's a lot who don't care where you spend eternity. Makes me wonder if the preacher knows this wonderful Savior. Well, to come to Jesus, to be received by him, and I said, I will no wise cast you out. Those who come find Christ's arm open wide to receive them. Here is a two-way meeting. A seeking sinner meets a seeking Savior. A receiving sinner meets a receiving Savior. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. He sure did. And he's seeking you right now. See, when I tell people I come to the Lord drew me to him. You know, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. It's like a magnet. When you're convinced that you're a sinner and you're willing to say, I'm sorry, and invite Christ in your heart, then you won't have to seek anymore. The moment we meet, we become the children of God. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Just think of it. You have to receive him. Now he's standing with outstretched arms right tonight saying, come unto me, all ye have labor and heavy laden. Friend, aren't you getting tired of your wasted life? Don't you get up in the morning if you're not a Christian? What do you got going for you? Go to your job, get your paycheck on Friday, go home, go buy some groceries, maybe go to a football game or a basketball game, and then you repeat the same thing the next week. What a wasted life! My stars, when you know Jesus, you're going to want to share him. You're going to want to tell people how to be saved. That's a promise. God will give it to you. If you trust him, he certainly will make you a new creature. Can you believe it? I can't think of it. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 5:17. He said, that he will make us a new creature in Christ Jesus. He'll take away that heart of stone, and he'll give you a heart of flesh. Oh, listen. We become heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And I read in Romans 8:17, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may be glorified with him. You know what? The Bible said we will never, never, never be separated from the love of God. Depth, height, death won't separate you from the love of God. Every day then becomes an adventure in faith. Every day. You know, this Bible, you won't ever learn all the stuff that's in this book. Don't think you will. I know men have read it frontwards and backwards and still don't know much about it. There's so much wonderful news in this book. It's not like reading a newspaper. This gives you some answers. This tells you how to live, tells you how to die, tells you how to be saved, tells you how to give, how to go. It's all in here, and it's all for you. See, to come to Jesus to receive eternal life, that's time without end from him. What did he say? I will in no wise cast you out. That's a guarantee that bears repeating. I will in no wise cast out. A promise that assures you and I eternal life. You know, the verses that follow seal his promise in 38 through 40. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on that last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on that last day. See, Christ came to do the Father's will, not his own. What did he say in 38? For I have come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. Well, the Father wills that all believers have everlasting life. What did he say in verse 40? For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who believes the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on that last day. Did you know, friends, there's another event going to happen soon. Jesus is going to come back. You're going to see, hear the trump of the archangel, and Jesus shall appear on a cloud with outstretched arms. And he'll say, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I'll give you peace. Now, he didn't say that, come on, Catholics. Come on, Catholic Church. Come on, Baptist Church. Come on, Presbyterian. This is only for those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. This is not for the church, though we belong to the church. It's for you personally and for me personally. That's a personal invitation from God. Those who come to Jesus are safe in his arms. Why would anyone delay coming to receive Christ? That's a question I'm asking. Why would anyone do that? Come just as you are to receive and be received today. Oh, my precious friend. All the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. See, you can come in and be safe. Hey, I remember so many years ago when my ship was in the North China Sea. The worst typhoon that sea had ever experienced. There was aircraft carriers, there was destroyers, there was cruisers, and there was battle wagons in that flotilla. And all of us on attack troop transport, I don't know how many of us, there must have been 25 or 30 troop transports and AKAs. And we had 100-foot waves, 100-knot winds. I never prayed so hard in my life, and I wasn't even a Christian. I was as lost as a goose in the grass. But I remember when the storm, I don't know how many, 3-4 days, when that storm subsided, oh, what a thought, what a, the sea got smooth. You remember when Jesus and his boys were in his boat, and Jesus had been preaching all day, and he was just tuckered out. So he went in the back part of the ship, and he laid down, went to sleep. All of a sudden, a huge storm came up. The winds were howling, and they were taking on water. And they were scared to death. These were not a bunch of silly old apprentices. These were seasoned seamen, fishermen. And they cried out to the Lord, "Oh, don't you want us to perish?" And Jesus looked at those boys. He just held up his hands and said, "Peace, be still." So you see, even Jesus was with the disciples in the storm. He's with you tonight. You might be born again, and you might be going through some real problems, financial, spiritual, physical, whatever it might be. Well, he's going to go with you through it. He said, "Hello, I'm with you even in the world." Remember when Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was in that fiery furnace? Jesus was in there with them. You remember when Daniel was in the lion's den? The Lord was protecting Daniel and shut the mouths of those lions. He'll be with you tonight. You say, "Cecil, I wished I could sit down and talk with you. You don't know my problems." No, I don't know your problems, sir or ma'am, but he does, and he cares. Casting all your care upon him. That's what Timothy said. Casting all your... He cares about you. You say, "Well, Cecil, boy, I wished I could believe." You can believe that. And you say, "Well, Cecil, I don't know. I really don't believe." Well, you say, "Lord, help thou my unbelief." Ask him to reveal himself to you to make sure that you're safe out of the storms of life. Now, let me ask you this question. Let's supposing right now I ask you this question. Do you know where you're going when you die? And you say, "Oh, Cecil, no, I don't." Well, if you don't, then it's time for you to settle it. That is, if you want to. Now, he won't make you be saved. He'll let you go through life if you want to. And don't take no more chances, because this is a terrible gamble. He'll take you in right now if you'll come into him by faith. And if you feel a tugging at your heart, now here's a prayer, and don't you dare pray this prayer if you don't mean it. And here's how it goes. "Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm so sorry for my wasted life, all the terrible things I've done, and I know I'm a sinner. So, Lord, right now, I'm inviting you in to be my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen." If you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. Won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. If you don't have the money to call me long distance, you call collect. I'll pay for the call. Oh, beloved, I really mean that. If you feel I can help you spiritually, call me. I don't know all the answers, beloved, but I can find them. I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534.
Rewrote my life.
Thank you, Joanne. You know, you and that husband of yours have been such a blessing in my life. We've been through a lot of things, haven't we? You keep singing, Joanne, and I'll keep preaching. Well, friends, the last half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. And, oh, I pray I might have said something that would encourage you. Oh, if you're lost and you don't know how to get to heaven and you're confused, please call me at 303-471-8534. I won't jump on you. I won't preach at you. I'll just tell you about my wonderful Savior that reached down in a gutter and saved this old drunk. Oh, I praise him for it. Well, friend, at this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.